system over the New South Wales coast is expected to ease off today. The east coast low moved south over Newcastle and Sydney overnight after damaging winds and flooding hit Queensland and northern New South Wales yesterday. Emergency crews from Ausgrid also worked through the night to restore power after faults caused by the rain and wind and trees falling on power lines. As the system moves south, rain and flooding is also expected in parts of Victoria and Tasmania. Tributes have poured in for three-time World Heavyweight World Champion Muhammad Ali, who has died at the age of 74 after one of boxing's most celebrated careers. Ali, who had long suffered from Parkinson's syndrome, which impaired his speech and made the once graceful athlete almost a prisoner in his own body, died a day after he was admitted to a Phoenix area hospital with a respiratory ailment. Along with a fearsome reputation as a fighter, he spoke out against racism, war and religious intolerance, and was known for his gift of the gab.
I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice, and I'm gonna stick to his butt like white on rice.
Malcolm Turnbull has vowed to fight the good fight against Labor's spending promises after a brief martial arts lesson from Karate Kids in Adelaide yesterday. The Prime Minister sharpened his attack on his main rival, Bill Shorten, declaring a return to a Labor government would mean a war on business. He's also hit out at the danger of voting for Nick Xenophon, minor parties and independents, and has urged voters to think carefully about their decision on July 2.
A vote for anyone other than my coalition is a vote for chaos.
Mr. Turnbull is back in Sydney today while opposition leader Bill Shorten is staying to campaign in Melbourne. A man and a woman will appear in a Queensland court after they allegedly tied up a man with duct tape and stabbed him in the arm with a syringe in an overnight ordeal. Police say the alleged assault took place when the 55-year-old victim went to a home in Ipswich, southwest of Brisbane, on Friday evening. After escaping yesterday morning, he went to a police station where he was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The accused pair, both aged 47, will face Ipswich Magistrates Court tomorrow. The United States has warned its citizens of possible attacks by Islamist militants on US facilities or shopping malls in South Africa during the upcoming month of Ramadan. The US Embassy says upmarket shopping areas and malls in the commercial hub of Johannesburg and Cape Town are the main target areas in the suspected planned attacks. South Africa's Foreign Affairs Department says the country's security agencies are capable of ensuring the safety of its residents. It's the second such warning in under a year from the embassy. And banned former FIFA president Joseph Blatter has denied claims he enriched himself over the last 5 years at football's governing body. His comments follow an internal investigation at FIFA which said Blatter and two other former top officials enriched themselves by more than $110 million. This is Air News. Spanish fourth seed Garbina Muguruza has claimed her maiden Grand Slam title by beating world number one and defending champion Serena Williams 7-5, 6-4 in the French Open final. The 22-year-old, who lost to Williams in last year's Wimbledon final, is the first Spaniard to win since Arantxa Sánchez Vicario in 1998. In NRL, the North Queensland Cowboys have shown they won't be derailed by State of Origin with a 46-16 win over the Newcastle Knights. Coach Paul Green says having the star players back made a difference.
Obviously with our Origin players back in, you know, things, you're right, was probably a little bit more fluent, but yeah, a tough period with the number of players we had involved, so really happy with the win.
There were also wins yesterday for Melbourne and New Zealand. And Gold Coast forward Tom Lynch is in hot water with coach Rodney Eed after picking up an unacceptable striking charge during yesterday's 38-point AFL loss to Sydney. Lynch was placed on report for a punch to Swan Jeremy Laidler's midriff late in the final term of the rain-marred match at Metricon Stadium. Eed says while the incident was minor and probably won't end in suspension, it's unacceptable behaviour from a leader of the club, especially after the linchpin had specifically been warned about keeping his frustrations in check. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, no surprise, plenty of cloud and a very high percentage, 100% in fact, Jimmy.
That is very high.
Chance of rain, becoming less likely this evening, let's hope. Rain heavy at times during the morning and into the afternoon. Sydney's heading for a top temperature of 21 degrees with possible rainfall between 70 to 120 mils. Jimmy, what about out at Windsor and Wellington?
Would you believe Windsor? It's going to be raining there as well, Raymond, a maximum of 20 degrees. And Wellington in the state's west, a maximum temperature of 15 degrees. That's cold. Chilly.
Rain?
And a shower or two.
Whether you're spending your Christmas bonus or looking forward to a baby bonus, enjoying your bonus meal or clocking up bonus points, it's all an added bonus. But you'll get a better bonus at Hyundai this end of financial year with a fantastic $1,500 factory bonus for ABN buyers on Australia's best-loved commercial van, the Hyundai iLoan. Our season deal sale won't last, so seize this brilliant bonus offer today at your local Hyundai dealer.
Lionel, how are you going with the balloons?
Really good, Mum.
Uh-oh.
Only 10,000 more to do.
How many have you done?
Two.
At PNV, we have an end of financial year celebration sale.
We're reducing prices store-wide.
On the leading brands.
TVs, computers, fridges, washers, dryers, you name it.
Now, all we need is the balloons.
Okay, that's three. Okay, maybe two.
You'll find some great deals right now at PNV.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
Races up to hit the lead. She shot away in the Epsom. It's all over. Ecuador, Sons of John, Messine for the Miners. The Bowman high in the irons gives the big salute.
Thurston to choose from, which coat. He hits it. He's got it. He's got the fan goal. He's got the brilliant gift. He has gone from, as I said, a captain to a legend and probably rugby league immortality.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
I've done something new for this fight. I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean I make medicine sick.
Come on!
Too fast! You're too fast!
The king is going home to get his throne.
Yeah, when I get to Africa, we're going to get it on because we don't get alone.
It is a somber note that we start our program today. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend in a reflection on an incredible life that's been lived by a sporting icon around the globe. Muhammad Ali passed away yesterday, born in 1942, of course, a heavyweight champion of the world multiple times, a man that changed not only his sport, not only sport, but certainly impacted on the world itself and from a political and peace point of view. Was a huge, huge influential figure. There is lots going on in the world of sport at the moment, but we will make Muhammad Ali a focal point for us this morning. Everyone involved in this program have all come in with their own Muhammad Ali stories. You know, you don't have to be the biggest boxing fan to appreciate what an incredible imprint he has made on the lives of everyone. I'm going to say this. I would say that from an Australian perspective, that the greatest sporting icon is Don Bradman, Sir Donald Bradman. But I tell you what, from a global point of view, I don't think Muhammad Ali could be beaten on that point. It's a great celebration of a life that we're going to have this morning, Ray Thomas. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I doubt, Jimmy, there's ever been a sportsman who's been so inspirational, charismatic and influential. And as you mentioned, not just in the realms of his sport, but in politics, in life. He's impacted so many lives. I think I read last night, I think everyone was reading the Muhammad Ali stuff last night, he's the most photographed person in history. And that would make sense because he was a genuine superstar, Jim, in more ways than one. In the boxing ring, none greater. He was the greatest, in my opinion, but there's a lot of boxing experts who say that he was certainly the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Yeah.
But outside of the ring, Jim, the impact he's had on people's lives, on politics, on just everything, he was a massively amazing human being.
Ali Boumaye. When we were kings is possibly the greatest documentary I've ever
incredible.
Seen.
Incredible. Yeah.
Which was about the Rumble in the Jungle, his fight with George Foreman in 1974.
In Zaire.
In Zaire. And that vision was only released about, I think it was 22 or 23 years later.
Yep.
It was held and they just couldn't get it to...
As good as that Rumble in the Jungle was, have you ever seen The Thriller in Manila in 75?
I haven't seen it in full.
It is worth watching, Jim. That is 14 rounds, the most incredible heavyweight boxing contest you will ever see. Two people who, I think Ali and Frazier at the time, generally disliked each other.
They
and
did.
Probably right through until, well, Joe Frazier died a few years ago. I don't think they ever actually reconciled in that extent, but
no.
they were photographed together later in their life. But going into Manila in 75, Jim, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
Of course, Frazier had beaten Ali in the fight of the century at Madison Square Garden in 1971. Ali had come back and beaten him in their second fight. But that Thriller in Manila was 14 rounds of the most brutal boxing, and two of the most courageous men you will ever see go toe-to-toe. It was incredible.
Watching some highlights last night, I saw the look on the Ali camp at the end of the 14th round, and then the disbelief when they looked over and saw that Joe Frazier...
I think it was relief, wasn't it?
Well, unbelievable. Like yeah. He was absolutely out on his stool.
I read Ali's autobiography many, many years ago, and he said that was the closest he ever came to death, and everything around him was... All he was doing was seeing white. So when Frazier threw the towel in, or Frazier's corner threw the towel in, it was relief. They both spent days in hospital after that, Jim.
He hit me with punches that would tear down the walls of the city, was Muhammad Ali's quote on that one.
You had some great quotes over
there. Well, that's what we're looking for this morning, 1353. And that's the thing. It is a celebration, isn't it, of an outstanding life. 1353, the open line number. Give us a call. 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272. And you can get us on the tweets as well, at Big Sports WEND.
So what's the theme? Favourite Ali quotes?
Favourite Ali quotes. We've got heaps of CDs to give away, courtesy of Sony Music as well. The point I was going to make about When We Were Kings is that he was obviously the star of that show. And then Will Smith, who's a great actor, a Hollywood actor who played Ali in the movie of the same name, in a great performance. Problem was, he just wasn't as charismatic as the real thing.
That was
the problem. Certainly after watching that movie, When We Were Kings. So we'll do that this morning. We've got a double pass to give away, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. We're going to be doing questions all the way through the morning. Gold pass, double gold pass, not a bad giveaway. So good on you, Mark and the team. We appreciate that. There is a great pall hanging over rugby league at the moment, and it's around the alleged match fixing that relates to two games last year, round 17, Manly versus South Sydney, and round 24, Manly versus Parramatta Eels. We'll take your thoughts on that. We're going to have a chat with Zorba this morning. We're looking forward to that chat, as we always do. But if these allegations are proven to be correct, I can imagine the impact that it's going to have on the league, the game, the club, and those persons involved. So it's a huge, huge story, and we'll be dealing with that this morning as well. So we'll take your thoughts on that, 1353-53. And then we've got some race replays we're going to get through. Kobe Jennings. What about Kobe Jennings yesterday?
He'd never ridden a treble anywhere, Jim, not even in the bush. And yesterday he rode four winners.
An incredible day out, too. So congratulations to him. We're going to have a chat to him. Michael Freeman had his first Saturday runner, had his first Saturday winner yesterday. So things going well upon his return from Singapore. Terry Robinson, King's officer. Bit of a swimmer, literally, according to Ray Thomas. So,
went swimming
down on the beach and nearly didn't come back.
Incredible story.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Terry about that as well. Andy Paskalidis, the Socceroos win 1-0 against Greece. Your thoughts on that?
Decent crowd overnight, 38,000. Given the horrendous weather in Sydney.
And you'd think 10,000 would have been kept away.
Exactly. And a last-minute winner there by Matthew Leckie. And the Matildas had a good win yesterday, 2-0 over New Zealand. So
I thought you were saying Newcastle under-15s. No? They struggled against them.
No, it doesn't matter. 2-0 against New Zealand, so they're well and truly on track towards Rio. And, Jim, you've got to jump on board the Matildas train. Overnight, Serena Williams defeated in the French Open by a young lady who was playing out of this world, Garbine Muguruza.
Muguruza.
Muguruza, yeah. Tall, Muguruza. Got a terrific serve, tremendous reach and...
great hair.
Yeah, and she can hit the ball and 7-5, 6-4. So Serena remains on 22 slams. Tonight, Djokovic versus Murray.
Wow.
And Djokovic is going for the Novak slam, so to speak, because he'll be then holding all four majors at the one time. But don't forget, Murray did beat Djokovic in their last clash on clay just a couple of weeks ago. So.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. They were describing Andy Murray as Britain's greatest sports person at the moment.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton might have something to say about it.
Good point, yeah. Jimmy, we haven't mentioned State of Origin. 6-4 Queensland there. Again, they look like they've got a...
We didn't want to, Ray. That's
yeah,
why
I
we
know.
Didn't mention it.
What are your thoughts, Jim? We were discussing the team last Sunday, and I think we all agreed New South Wales picked a strong team, but did we pick a team that had enough points in them? Is that the recurring theme of recent years? And if that is the case, then what can you do? Remember, we only got beaten by 2 points, and there was no score in the second half. We're in the contest, and a couple of controversial decisions, which, to be fair, I felt were the right calls, Jim. The Josh Morris disallowed try.
I don't think Josh Morris scored a try.
And so I think that was a fair call. But would you make changes, given that it was only 2 points, it was a terrifically tight contest, and not that far away?
Well, let's go through some of the things that came out of it. I don't know why Laurie Daly asked for the refs to be replaced. Look, there was one decision there where New South Wales had the feed for the scrum 10 metres out from the Queensland line, and that was reversed. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little strange, but, you know, there were so many incidents throughout the course of the 80 minutes where the players had the opportunity to seize control of the game, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. Adam Reynolds' goal kick.
Yep.
I mean, that's huge.
It normally doesn't miss
those. He knocks that over in his sleep.
Yep.
If he's wearing a Cardinal or Myrtle jersey. I thought Matt Moylan played well. I thought Josh Mansell played well. Boyd Cordner was excellent. Maloney was good. Reynolds was good. It's just that they've got this great Queensland side that,
just, you know, doesn't know how to lose.
I thought there were long periods of dominance for New South Wales.
In the second half,
from a forward point of view, they had a great deal of possession couldn't get those points that you were talking about. And it's a testimony to the great defence of the Queensland side. It's also a reflection of game one in the series are traditionally...
25 out of 35, isn't it? Win game one, win the series?
Yeah, I'm saying game one's traditionally a tighter-held affair. And when you combine that with the fact that it was played at ANZ Stadium on a wet night, you know, a low-scoring game was pretty much on offer, so every decision was going to be a big one. I think it will really open up a lot more at Suncorp Stadium come game two. And I just think the Dylan Walker experiment, if we call it that, I would say would not happen again.
How do you get any game time?
He got 9 minutes.
Yeah.
He got 9 minutes. I just
don't come to the point of that.
Whereas Michael Morgan, I know he ended up going off the field, but he's on the field in the first half.
Having an impact.
Yeah. Mm. So I think there needs to be changes from a New South Wales point of view. And I think...
Can I raise one name with you? And Bryce Cartwright.
I had him in the side in the first game.
I watched Penrith last night very close against the Storm. To be fair, Bryce probably didn't have his best game.
That
was because the Storm was so dominant. They were fantastic last night. Their defence and their forward pressure, their forwards were just outstanding. They dominated the Penrith
pack.
Huge,
weren't they?
But Bryce Cartwright does bring that X factor. He requires a defensive lineup to mark him, to watch him carefully. He's got great ball skills. He could be what New South Wales need just around the edges and in the ruck, Jim, because although people like Boyd Cordner, etc., had terrific games, it just didn't look like scoring.
Don't worry, you're not leaving Boyd Cordner out.
No, he was fantastic. Yeah, we just don't look like scoring, and we were camped on the Queensland try line for a lot of that second half. Couldn't get through.
Second phase play from Fifita. Second phase play.
Why didn't he get more game time?
I agree. Mm. Second phase play. I tell you what, you watch Trent Merrin and what he did last night.
He was fantastic.
Offloading, and that's what New South Wales can't do with some of their forwards. 30 points to 18, the Raiders over the Seagulls. Did well to hang in that game, the Seagulls. The Warriors, 36 points to 18 over a Broncos side who have now lost four of their last five. Cowboys, 46-16 over the Knights. The Storm, as you mentioned, too strong for the Panthers, 24 points to 6. We've got the Roosters and the West Tigers today. The Rabbitohs and the Titans later tonight, and then the Bulldogs and the Sharks will round out round 13 in the National Rugby League. Raymond, we're going to take a break. We want your greatest ever quotes from the greatest ever, Muhammad Ali. Give us a call, 1353 53.
Sky Sports Radio gives you the right mix of racing and sport every morning at 10 on Tab Talk. Hear leading experts from all the winter sports, plus the stars, including cricketer Dave Warner.
Like 90,000 people at the MCG walking out Boxing Day Test, but that's like it every game, and that's the thrill about playing in the IPL. You get the opportunity to play against the best and with the best.
Trainers and jockeys are also along for the ride on Tab Talk every morning at 10 on Sky Sports Radio.
There's a smartphone built with more.
Feel the beat when you know.
More news, more talk, more live sport. More of the things you love. A smartphone with a digital radio. The new LG Stylus DAB+. The first ever digital radio smartphone. With a digital radio feature, you'll get less battery drain and be able to listen to all your favorite stations and up to 30 extra ones with no streaming costs. Get more. The LG Stylus DAB Plus smartphone with digital radio. Available from your Optus or Virgin Mobile store. Free the things you love.
Gloves when you were a youngster. I was given a pair of boxing gloves when I was about 7 or 8. Muhammad Ali endorsed boxing gloves.
I can remember actually 1971, Madison Square Garden. Remember my dad was telling me leading up to the fight that this would be one of the greatest fights of all time. He told me the stories about Muhammad Ali and I was transfixed from that moment.
Yeah.
And when he was beaten, I was shattered.
Did you go to his, when you went to Kentucky?
Yes, we did. And I've got to say, if you like boxing, it's fantastic. But if you appreciate what Muhammad Ali has done as a person and the impact he's had on the world, that was 4 hours we spent there. Even Tanya enjoyed it. I had tears in my eyes a few times, and I don't mind saying that because it's incredible. And
you're a soft touch, though.
I am, yeah. But you can go through Ali's life, and it's a fantastic museum. If you get the opportunity to get to Louisville and go to the Kentucky Derby one year, Jim,
yes,
maybe you can influence us to do a live broadcast from over there. chance of that. Okay. Yeah. But if you ever get a chance, you must do that.
Mm, speculation, that was the only 4 hours of the trip that Tanya enjoyed.
No. Oh, thanks for that.
untrue.
Did you actually like
it? Unfounded, yeah, unfounded.
She liked Muhammad Ali's centre as well.
It's fantastic.
Thanks for the rap, Jim.
Oh, I'm joking, Raymond. Howdy, are the races on in Wellington? May Ali rest in peace. That's from Michelle. Races on. It's still on at this point.
Track inspection at 6:30.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get a text from the stewards at some point after that. So as soon as we hear, we'll let everyone know if the races are on at Wellington today.
Okay. Jimmy and Ray, in Spanish, they pronounce Z as TH. So as most newsreaders and sports presenters have been saying, it's pronounced Muguruza.
Muguruza.
Okay. Muguruza. That's from Tom. All right. Good on you, Tom. I just rewatched The Rumble in the Jungle about an hour ago. Couldn't all the glowing terms you two described Ali as also apply to Eddie the Eagle? Okay. Not surprisingly, no name on that one. And this from Michelle goes on in her SMS and says, Ali, quote, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Michelle from Dubbo. That's a good one.
Pretty good. What about a Bob Dylan CD for Michelle? That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on Ali's great quote. So SMS us on 0419 767 272, or call us on 1353 53. Muhammad Ali passing away yesterday, aged 74.
And Adrian's done just that. G'day, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, I want to talk about Origin, but before that, Muhammad Ali, I mean, there's the great, there's the elite, and then there's the chosen one. He was one of them. I've got him up there right beside Nelson Mandela. To me, they're to share the planet with those two people, amazing.
Yeah.
I can't put one ahead of the other. They're just phenomenal human beings.
Yep, no,
helps, I think from a sports him. Point of view, sports icon point of view, as I said earlier, Don Bradman is the dominant icon for Australia. Yep. And maybe Pele is a dominant icon for, you know, world people soccer. from football playing countries, but Ali transcends national boundaries, doesn't he?
Most photographed man in history.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I can't split those two people, and they're just, you know, amazing human beings.
Mm.
What about Origin, Adrian? What do you think?
Yeah, I got on Origin. Mm. Look, first of all, from the get go, I wanted Joey Leilua there, the form centre of the competition, an absolute beast. Whose offloads are leading the competition by miles and tries, this and that, has to be there. Few other things. They talk about the whiteboard. You know what was written on the whiteboard?
What was on the
whiteboard? Nothing at them. No, but I'm serious. Laurie Daly's got a lot to answer for. His defence of the Dylan Walker selection, and I feel sorry for Dylan, his defence of Dylan Walker on NRL 360 was weak and unconvincing. And then Paul Kent to come out and say that Josh Morris had a strong game. Sorry, I would have hooked Josh Morris for that disgraceful fumble that, you know, on tackle zero when you're 25 metres out from the line. Should have been hooked.
It's not disgraceful. I wouldn't use disgraceful as the term. It's a most unfortunate.
Appalling.
Yeah, it's a shocking error, but it's not a disgraceful error.
Well, okay. Well, up there with Philip Duke and Justin Hodges, there's just a terrible mistake. Tackle zero.
Yeah, I know.
25 metres out from the line.
Yep.
The other thing is, too, I'm sick of people saying Cameron Smith is a smart footballer. The referees embarrass themselves by letting Cameron Smith dictate to them.
Isn't that smart then?
No, it's not.
Right.
It's embarrassing on the referee's part. If I'm a referee, I'm going for Cameron Smith.
It's not Cameron Smith's fault if he gets away with it, Adrian. Yeah, that's the thing.
Because the referee's embarrassed. It's their fault. Phil Harrigan wouldn't have put up with it.
Of course
it's
not.
It's their fault.
Phil Harrigan's not there now.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but what the referee should do to show a bit of leadership as a officiator of the game is, Cameron, play strong, play hard. But if you come up to me, if you get involved in the way he did with Robbie Farrow one time, he had to untangle and sort of pick the ball and that, I'd say, what I'm going to do to you, Cameron, you're going to be in the bin straight away.
Mm. Okay, all right. We're going down a familiar path there. How can you say he's not smart if he knows that he can get away with it, and he does?
For them. And to be fair, he was fantastic on a Wednesday night, fantastic in last night for the Storm. He's just a wonderful player, Cameron Smith, isn't he? And Cooper Cronk, terrific again last night. And did you see the vision before the Origin in the sheds just prior to coming on when they showed his ankle?
I think it was an ankle injury that he had. I think it was a legitimate one.
The bruising was incredible.
I was amazed that he played last night.
Mm.
And then guess what? Gets three Dally M points as best player on the ground.
So,
just incredible. Instead of boxing gloves, the kids of today are more likely to be given a George Foreman grill. That's not bad.
I like the next one from Brett from Broadbeach, because this is exactly what happened to me. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. My favourite Ali moment, it's not a quote, but when our teacher in high school set up the black and white TV to watch Ali versus Frazee. It was just epic. Happened to us. I was in primary school, and I asked the teacher, we had a lady teacher at the time, Mrs. Sheridan was a name, never forget it, and she brought the TV out, and we sat and watched them. Can't wait for Zorba today, boys. Could you ask Zorba after Origin 1? Could he name those seven fullbacks who are better than Darius Boyd in the NRL? Brett from Broadbeach. He was terrific, wasn't he, Darius Boyd? He was
excellent.
Outstanding at fullback.
If he'd have got man of the match, I'd have thought, fair enough. I think Matt Gillett's taken his game to a new level. Just incredible the way he plays. So, that of course, we're going to talk Origin as well. You've got another one there, right?
How many countries does England need to have in Great Britain to have decent sports people, especially when it comes to tennis? When was the last time an English player won Wimbledon? Virginia Wade won in 77, and Fred Perry way back in 1938.
And Scotland, of course, is part of Great Britain.
Well, he's specifically asking for an English player.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, no, fair enough. We understand. It's like the England cricket team, isn't it? You know, full of Irishmen and Scotsmen
South
and South Africans. Mm. That's right. Yeah, a couple of Aussies have been there too. Don't worry. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're taking your best Muhammad Ali quotes today, given the fact that the greatest has passed away.
What's your best?
74.
Have you got one?
I used to love it when he'd do the Michael Parkinson show. And he talked about...
Did it a few times, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did it three or four times, I think it was. That they talked about... He said how tough boxing was, and Michael Parkinson was going on this question about how you know, boxing can have an impact on your face, and he said, yeah, mostly when I fight him. Quick as a flash. Quick as a flash. And the other one was when the air hostess said to him, sir, could you put on your seatbelt? And he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she said, Superman don't need no airplane.
Over the New South Wales coast is expected to ease off today. The east coast low moved south over Newcastle and Sydney overnight after damaging winds and flooding hit Queensland and northern New South Wales yesterday. Emergency crews from Ausgrid also worked through the night to restore power after faults caused by the rain and wind and trees falling on power lines. As the system moves south, rain and flooding is also expected in parts of Victoria and Tasmania. Tributes have poured in for three-time World Heavyweight World Champion Muhammad Ali, who has died at the age of 74 after one of boxing's most celebrated careers. Ali, who had long suffered from Parkinson's syndrome, which impaired his speech and made the once graceful athlete almost a prisoner in his own body, died a day after he was admitted to a Phoenix area hospital with a respiratory ailment. Along with a fearsome reputation as a fighter, he spoke out against racism, war and religious intolerance, and was known for his gift of the gab.
I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice, and I'm gonna stick to his butt like white on rice.
Malcolm Turnbull has vowed to fight the good fight against Labor's spending promises after a brief martial arts lesson from karate kids in Adelaide yesterday. The Prime Minister sharpened his attack on his main rival, Bill Shorten, declaring a return to a Labor government would mean a war on business. He's also hit out at the danger of voting for Nick Xenophon, minor parties and independents, and has urged voters to think carefully about their decision on July 2.
A vote for anyone other than my coalition is a vote for chaos.
Mr. Turnbull is back in Sydney today while opposition leader Bill Shorten is staying to campaign in Melbourne. A man and a woman will appear in a Queensland court after they allegedly tied up a man with duct tape and stabbed him in the arm with a syringe in an overnight ordeal. Police say the alleged assault took place when the 55-year-old victim went to a home in Ipswich, southwest of Brisbane, on Friday evening. After escaping yesterday morning, he went to a police station where he was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The accused pair, both aged 47, will face Ipswich Magistrates Court tomorrow. The United States has warned its citizens of possible attacks by Islamist militants on US facilities or shopping malls in South Africa during the upcoming month of Ramadan. The US Embassy says upmarket shopping areas and malls in the commercial hub of Johannesburg and Cape Town are the main target areas in the suspected planned attacks. South Africa's Foreign Affairs Department says the country's security agencies are capable of ensuring the safety of its residents. It's the second such warning in under a year from the embassy. And banned former FIFA president Joseph Blatter has denied claims he enriched himself over the last 5 years at football's governing body. His comments follow an internal investigation at FIFA which said Blatter and two other former top officials enriched themselves by more than $110 million. This is Air News. Spanish fourth seed Garbina Muguruza has claimed her maiden Grand Slam title by beating world number one and defending champion Serena Williams 7-5, 6-4 in the French Open final. The 22-year-old, who lost to Williams in last year's Wimbledon final, is the first Spaniard to win since Arantxa Sánchez Vicario in 1998. In NRL, the North Queensland Cowboys have shown they won't be derailed by State of Origin with a 46-16 win over the Newcastle Knights. Coach Paul Green says having the star players back made a difference.
Obviously, with our Origin players back in, you know, things, you're right, was probably a little bit more fluent. But, yeah, a tough period with the number of players we had involved, so really happy with the win.
There were also wins yesterday for Melbourne and New Zealand. And Gold Coast forward Tom Lynch is in hot water with coach Rodney Eed after picking up an unacceptable striking charge during yesterday's 38-point AFL loss to Sydney. Lynch was placed on report for a punch to Swan Jeremy Laidler's midriff late in the final term of the rain-marred match at Metricon Stadium. Eed says while the incident was minor and probably won't end in suspension, it's unacceptable behaviour from a leader of the club, especially after the linchpin had specifically been warned about keeping his frustrations in check. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather today is cloudy with a 100% chance of rain, becoming less likely this evening. Be safe on the roads. I don't know about you driving in, Raymond, but I'll tell you
pouring
what.
Pouring rain, Jim.
Pouring rain and very dangerous rain. Heavy at times during the morning and the afternoon. The chance of a thunderstorm during the morning and the afternoon. Winds east to northeasterly, 30 to 45 kilometres an hour, increasing to 50 to 70 kilometres an hour near the coast. So strong winds as well. Large and powerful surf conditions. So danger, danger, danger. Maximum of 21 degrees for Sydney. Now, what about out at Terry Hills, Raymond? And let's go up into the mountains. Tumut.
Tumut, yeah. Well, Terry Hills, no surprise, Jimmy. Plenty of rain and 19 degrees. Tumut? Geez, it's a cold day, Jim. Top of 14 degrees and plenty of rain at Tumut as well.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the show and Jimmy's favourite part
you
of the show.
You say that every week.
Are you warming to it or not really?
It's in my top seven.
In your top seven. It comes in number seven. Did see in the races yesterday, Jim?
Yeah, geez, wet.
It was wet. Yes, it wasn't too bad. I was surprised we got through the meeting yesterday at Rose Hill.
How disappointing for Eagle Farm.
Yeah, 2 years waiting for the big comeback, and the rain was torrential in Brisbane, unfortunately. Had to call off an important meeting, the Oaks. The Oaks have now been switched to next Saturday to Stradbroke Day.
Oh, okay.
There'll be four Group 1s Eagle Farm next weekend.
How many races on the program?
10 races on the program. Right. The QTC Cup, which is normally a Stradbroke lead-up, has been moved to Stradbroke Day, but new entries will be called for now, and a race called the Hinkler Classic's been deleted. But so next Saturday, Eagle Farm, four Group 1s, the Oaks, the Derby, the JJ Atkins, and, of course, the Stradbroke, four Group 2s, and two listed races.
Wow.
Massive day for Eagle Farm. I must admit, Jimmy, I thought Rose Hill would become a victim of the weather again yesterday. The rain started to get a little bit heavy during the course of the morning. By the time we got to the first race, before it was even run, we were heavy 10.
Right.
And I thought, gee, if this heavy rain does come as forecast, we won't get through the meeting. Had a little break in the weather mid-afternoon when they just stopped for a couple of races, and I was talking to Mark Van Gessel, the new chief steward of Sydney Racing.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, and Mark said that little break in the weather gave the track, I know it sounds almost ridiculous, enough time just to dry. There was one section of the course
just before the turn there was a particularly
that they were
concerned
soft spot,
about, wasn't
and
there?
Yeah. It just dried out enough and they got through the meeting. And look, it was pretty wet and gloomy, though, but for a couple of people, a memorable day. One of those gentlemen was Michael Friedman, who's back in Australian racing, has relocated his business, very successful in Singapore. Jim, we'll talk to Michael after 7 o'clock. Had his relocated his business to Rose Hill, had his first Sydney runner yesterday, Henry the Creative, and it got the chocolates in race one.
Doherty travels on the bridle from Henry the Creative. Orleans Palladian. Brulé is slicing its way through the field and Smart Ventures not travelling well. But Doherty in front. Henry the Creative, though, quickly goes to it and Brulé the outside. Forget about Palladian. It's Henry the Creative joining Doherty. Brulé under the stick now is trying hard. Doherty's finding a bit from Henry the Creative, but Henry the Creative with its head in front. Brulé starting to dig in at the end. Henry the Creative in front near the wire, and Henry the Creative wins it by a neck to Brulé. Doherty third, Smart Venture fourth.
Well, I was going to say it probably goes well in the wet, but I reckon they all go well in the wet. The winners from yesterday. What's the plan, do you reckon, for Michael Friedman? And why the change back? I don't know, we can ask him. He's coming up in the program very shortly. Why the move back from Singapore at this point?
8 years in Singapore. He thought enough was enough.
Right.
He's had a young family into high school and probably those were the reasons. But we'll ask him just after 7 o'clock. For the horse, Henry the Creative, look, I guess now he's shown he can handle these wet tracks, why not keep him going, Jim? Because there's basically $48,000 the winner every time he goes around. And with these wet tracks, a lot of horses can't handle it. It is a very specialist sort of way of racing, and he got through it well yesterday. He's 2 from 2, and Michael Friedman's got his Sydney training career off to a flyer. Race 2, the other man who had a day out yesterday was Kobe Jennings. He picked up, you know when your luck's in, don't you, Jim? Winona Costin was down to ride Ravi, and she was injured at track work on Friday morning, lacerated a leg, couldn't ride yesterday, so Kobe Jennings becomes the late replacement on Ravi, and that started his winning momentum. Ravi wins the second.
Then came Charlotte. Ravi still back second last, being quietly ridden, and Ravi is coming home well on the outside. Nudie Rudy joins Noble Joey from Positive Charge Thorsbourne. Here's Ravi. She's really starting to wind up with a good run on the outside. Noble Joey kicked away from Nudie Rudy, but here's Ravi on the outside. Last witness with the belated finish, but Ravi races to the lead, and Ravi's come from well back to beat Noble Joey. Last witness third, Nudie Rudy fourth. Great effort, the winner.
Great finish there from Ravi, and as you mentioned, good pickup there for Kobe Jennings. Now, this is a very impressive horse, and they're thinking about turning her out now, aren't they, and have a look at the spring.
Almost too good for winter. Well, she is too good for winter racing, so she'll go back to the paddock now, and her team Snowden have another rising star in the making there in Ravi. Down to race 6, Jim, and Chris Waller's continuing this march towards breaking his own record.
What's he need? 21 in 14?
Yeah.
21 in 16.
He set the record in 2012-13 of 167.5 wins. And everyone thought that would stand the test of time because there were less race meetings in Sydney now than there were back in the season he set the record.
Significantly, too, aren't they? 10 less across, what, 140? Is it about?
No, down to 112 now.
112. Got, yep. So from 122 to 112. So you're looking at it, what's that, a 9% reduction?
Yep,
in the number of races, and he might beat the record.
I think he will, yeah.
Wow.
It's basically a winner every meeting. He got a double yesterday. One of those winners was So Willie. That man, Kobe Jennings again.
Coming up to the home turn, Roguish in front from Classic Uniform. Supply and Demand being felt for. More Than Fabulous whips up on the outside, going into fourth. Further back to Hursley, Montauk, So Willie, Tremazina, and Seeking Asylum inside the 300 metres. Here's a good finish. More Than Fabulous down the outside, goes up to tackle Classic Uniform. Roguish has run its race. Then Supply and Demand, So Willie, and further back to Seeking Asylum. But More Than Fabulous with 51 kilos on its back. Clear. So Willie is coming with a late rally on the inside. So Willie coming to spoil the party there. So Willie got up to beat More Than Fabulous. Third, Classic Uniform or Triple Snitz. Then Dubai and Star from
her. So the beauty of this Kobe Jennings, that was his fourth winner in six races at the time. It's he's riding for Chris Waller, he's riding for the Snowdens. He's Terry Robinson had the winner on. Jason Addard as well. He's riding for Chris Lees. He had ridings for, I think he had 8 rides in 9 races.
Yeah, one was scratched.
Yeah.
And, of course, he won on Bull Rush for Team Hawks last week.
Yeah.
So he's getting rides. He's 56 kilos, but as someone pointed out yesterday, it's the same weight Hugh Bowman is.
Right.
But so his opportunities in that regard are limited, hence why he was so excited just to go to the races yesterday and hope they'd go ahead. He had all those rides, and he certainly made it count with those 4 winners. He just beat a young apprentice who we had on last week, Deanne Pena, there in that race. She rode a horse called More Than Fabulous into second spot. She's having a breakout season too,
isn't she?
Because she then won the next 2 races on Sabrina and Foreign Prince. Her ride on Sabrina was one of the rides of the day.
They're about to race into this very strong headwind. Sabrina in front. Metallic Crown shown the stick in second from Kentucky Dane. Consigned down the outside. Fig Tree staying towards the inside, making ground. Sabrina's full of running from Metallic Crown and Fig Tree. Then Consigned. Sabrina staying closer to the inside rail. But boy, she's got a big lead from Metallic Crown. Consigned is winding up late, but Sabrina is going to lead all the way. Sabrina, 3 lengths the margin to Metallic Crown, Consigned third, queued up for fourth, Fig Tree, Kentucky Dane.
Yes, good win there for Sabrina. It continues the great form of the Baker stables as well. Bjorn Baker getting himself a winner there. And Deanne Pena, we spoke to 2 weeks ago.
Sorry,
after
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, her win on Correspondent. So, yeah, she's having a as you mentioned, the breakout season.
And she claims 3 kilos, so that you'll notice these claiming apprentices now will come into the fore. Now,
the wet weather.
The wet weather, wet tracks. And,
yeah.
Gee, it's an advantage to have an informed apprentice who can claim 2 or 3 kilos on heavy tracks. Jimmy, overnight, one of the world's great races was run at Epsom Downs in England, the English Derby. Another bucket list item, Jim.
Never been,
have you? Never been there, no. Get there one day.
Where do they run it?
Epsom Downs, or near Epsom Downs.
Where's Epsom Downs?
I'm not sure. You might tell me.
Okay, I don't know. I'll find out.
Well, amazingly, Dermot World has won so many great races around the
Melbourne
world, including
Cup.
Two Melbourne Cups with Vintage Crop and Media Puzzle, had never won the English Derby, or the Epsom Derby, as they call it. He had a horse called Harzand in the Classic last night. Dermot World finally breaks his English Derby hoodoo.
Now joining in down the outside is Idaho. Harzand comes next. Red Burden ran out of room on the inside. Right down the outside, Wings of Desire and US Army Ranger. Idaho, Strike Cab and Harzand are the first to go for home. US Army Ranger is now in full cry towards the outside. They enter the final furlong. Harzand, US Army Ranger has got to the leader's girth, but has still got to get by as Harzand is pulling out more. And it's Harzand in the colours of the Aga Khan who has won the Investec Derby. For Pat Smullen and Dermot Wells. US Army Ranger second, Idaho in third, in a clean sweep for Ireland. In fourth place, Wings of...
So Epsom Downs, the race course, it's just near Epsom Hospital too, which...
Okay, that tells me a lot.
Did that clear? It's in London.
Okay.
It's in London. There you go, to the south of London. There are unconfirmed reports that you can see it from the top stand at Twickenham. Unconfirmed at this point. Yeah. So it's just down there near Dorking. And Caterham.
You know that part of London, don't you, Jim?
No, not at all. Pretty off the map here.
You were at Salford. That's north, isn't it?
It's Manchester. Yeah.
Okay.
I went to London.
Way up north.
Went to London.
But you played for Salford?
Yes.
That's up in Manchester.
Manchester. Well, it's like they say now it's a separate city, Manchester and Salford. It's like saying Camperdown separate to Sydney.
Oh, okay, yeah. So how far away is that from London, Manchester?
3 hours by train.
Okay.
Yeah.
Car?
Yeah, probably three. The motorways are pretty good, but they can cop a fair bit of traffic. I know Justin Dooley missed training a couple of times because he was out in Wigan trying to get to London back to training, and it costs about 140 quid in a cab. And then the cab driver, he was still late for training.
I love these Australians.
he was still late for training, and he got fined an extra 200 quid. So he was a very expensive taxi driver. But the incredible thing about it, the taxi driver...
It's Warren Dooley, isn't it? Yeah,
your mate Warren Dooley, Justin Dooley, former London Broncos player. The taxi driver had never been to London.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
I kid you not. Had never been to London. So Dooley took him to London.
Showed him around, did he?
Day tripping. So there you go. Epsom Downs racecourse is actually in London.
Thanks for that, Jim.
No worries. We're just clarifying.
I needed to know that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was it. So English
That's
Derby,
it.
Jim, can you possibly... get us over there one year for with your influence at this radio station, we might be able to do a live broadcast from Epsom Downs one year.
Live broadcast, you reckon? Mate, we can't get a live broadcast from Kembla Grange, let alone Epsom Downs.
We're not welcome back at Wellington either, are we?
They're on today at Wellington.
Well, actually, I'm just
point.
Texting Mark Van Gessel to see if we can get any news on that. So
keep an eye out for the Cow and Calf Hotel if you are up there. 1353 53 is the open line. I've got to tell people who else we've got coming up. We got Kurtar with Muhammad Ali. Billy Moore, he'll be our legend of the game. Queenslander!
He'll be happy. He'll be very happy.
He will be happy. We'll speak to Trent Lanscale as well. And Grant Lee Keyser, a well-respected boxing journalist. We'll speak to him about the late Muhammad Ali, Dean Bulldog Ritchie as well, and we'll keep taking your calls on 1353 53. We want the best quotes from the greatest Muhammad Ali. Sony Music CDs coming your way.
This is not a quote from one of our listeners, but gee, he or she is spot on. One of my memories of the great man, when he lit the flame at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. Remember that moment, Jim?
Absolutely.
I think the world held its breath that
the
moment.
The shaking hands.
Oh.
Because of I think he suffered Parkinson's for 32 years. Yeah. He'd been diagnosed in 32 years, the shaking hands. And it was sort of like a murmur went around that it's Ali. It's Ali.
Yeah. And
you
the
couldn't
world
believe
held
it.
Its breath. And he did it. John from Moorbank, he's always insightful. Cheers, Jim. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Cameron Smith will be the smartest and most influential player I have seen in my time. He should be in charge of the referees when he retires. John from Moorbank. He's probably spot on.
No, if you're smart, you won't take that job.
That's a good point.
And so that's in... See, Adrian didn't think he was smart.
Yeah.
I'll go with John from Moorbank.
Lionel, how are you going with the balloons?
Really good, Mum.
Uh-oh.
Only 10,000 more to do.
How many have you done?
Two.
At P&V, we're having an end of financial year celebration sale.
We're reducing prices store-wide.
On the leading brands.
TVs, computers, fridges, washers, dryers, you name it.
Now all we need is the balloons.
Okay, that's three. Okay, maybe two.
You'll find some great deals right now at P&V.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
Press statement. The undefeated Group 1 2-year-old.
Press statement in front of Sagaron Place, the home end. Press statement.
The only Group 1 winning 2-year-old and 3-year-old of his generation.
The gun 3-year-old edging clear in the Hobart field, and press statement makes it look easy.
Press statement. The winner of the 2016 Caulfield Guineas.
Press statement wins it brilliantly.
Press statement too good, too classy, too strong, too strong.
Press statement. Standing at Vinery Stud in 2016.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Jimmy Mark Van Gessel has been kind enough to get back to me. Wellington is on today. The track is a heavy eight, so those of you who are making it out to Wellington races today, that's... thankfully, avoid a lot of this weather. Heavy eight today.
That's not what you said in the ad break. You said, Mark Van Gestel, get used to it, buddy. If you're the boss, you have to do this sort of thing. Get back to me.
If Mark's listening, he's known me for many years, and I reckon he would certainly know that's not the way I would talk with him.
Mate, it's a very, Jimmy Smith, I tell you what, it's done? A very different Ray Thomas we get during the ad breaks.
If the listeners could only see what the temper tantrums Jimmy Smith throws in the ad breaks, news breaks, it's...
Oh, well, we're
come on, that's ridiculous.
Oh, Jeff Toovey, what about him? Poor old Toovs. What about the inspirational words we got from producer Jeremy as he came in?
Yeah, fire up.
Seriously,
yeah.
Put us to sleep. But anyway, away we go. We battle on regardless, Raven.
Exactly. Well, this man certainly didn't have a day to remember yesterday. It was a fantastic day for Kobe Jennings. Four winners. And one of those days, Jimmy, when you can look at a person's career and say, okay.
From this day.
A turning point here. And Kobe Jennings has been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Kobe, good morning. And, well, firstly, Kobe, congratulations on what was a memorable afternoon yesterday.
Good morning, guys. Thank you very much.
Four winners. Kobe, I know you had a bunch of rides yesterday, and I did ask you yesterday what your expectations were at the meeting, but you couldn't have dreamed of riding four winners.
Nah, I would have been happy to come home with a winner.
Yeah.
But going home with four, it's pretty unbelievable. It's definitely a highlight of my career.
Kobe, congratulations on your performance yesterday. Absolutely outstanding. Let's start with Ravi, the filly, and for the Snowdens, who obviously have such a high opinion of her. She's travelling so well. Can you give us an insight into her and what you think she might be set for come the spring?
Yeah, well, she's definitely put the writing on the walls now. Getting that far back in on a bog track at Rose Hill.
Mm.
The plan wasn't to be that far back, but circumstances provided I ended up back there. And at the top of the straight, I was expecting a good turn of foot, because I know she's got a turn of foot, but still thinking to myself, she's going to need a big effort, and she's pulled it off.
Hmm. She was outstanding, but what about King's Officer, Kobe? I was watching you coming around the turn, and you couldn't go slow enough on King's Officer. He was bolting.
Yeah, I gave him a bit of a rev-up after he got through the bog patch at about the 500, and he responded to it too well. I had to go back to sitting on him and nursing him through his ears again.
So those couple of wins that you have as you're going through the program, does that have an impact on the confidence that you have for future rides, Kobe, and does it impact in any way in what you might be doing on those rides?
Future rides
later in the meeting.
Oh, yeah, your confidence is definitely up, and you're more, I wouldn't say you're more keen to ride winners, but when your confidence is up, things happen better for you.
Mm. Well, we saw that, didn't we, Kobe, on Kellyville Flyer, and that was a dominant ride, but particularly on So Willie, because you persevered on that horse when he didn't look to be travelling all that well, but then he picked himself up, charged late and grabbed More Than Fabulous, and that was your fourth winner.
Yeah, that was a sort of, it was a different win to the rest of my rides for the day, that was for sure, going along the inside and settling back last. But, yeah, that was a nice win from him to be able to pick himself up and gradually find his way to the line.
Mm. You're still claiming the 2 kilos. You can ride at 56 kilos, Kobe. How much of a challenge is that day-to-day to be maintaining that weight?
But it is an everyday sort of, I wouldn't say struggle, but it's an everyday work in progress sort of thing. Like, it's not very often you get to have a day off and pig out and do whatever you want. You've always got to be keeping on to it, and if you do that, it makes it easier and more consistent to ride to the best that you can.
The conditions yesterday, pretty tough. There was a particular soft spot, I think, just before the turn. What was the thoughts in the jockey's room? Was there much talk about the conditions? Was there ever a thought of saying, look, this might be a little too dangerous? Oh, obviously not from you with all your good rides coming up.
There probably wasn't so much talk about it being too dangerous. We're all sort of working together and on opinions of especially that soft patch that was back there. Because if you had a horse that... Because that was a point where your horses can come off the bridle and go on, can't really go on with the rest of the race. So if they come off at that time in the race, you're going to really struggle. And your main focus is to get them through that patch as best as possible.
Exactly, yeah. As I said earlier, Kobe, I was surprised earlier in the day that if we get through all 9 races, but the track actually raced pretty well.
Yeah, it dried out pretty quickly. You could actually feel the difference in every race. You know, it was changing, but like I said, the only thing that didn't change was that soft patch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kobe, I was going to ask you, what do you do away from racing? How do you relax and what are the things you get up to? But the way things are these days with track
time.
I was going to say track work and racing pretty much every day, you probably don't get much time to do anything.
Yeah, at the moment it's pretty flat out in racing, but on my day off and on a good day, definitely not like today, I love getting out of my kayak and doing some fishing.
Okay, where do you do that?
Mainly around Malabar.
Okay. Yeah. What do you catch?
Anything really. Kingies. Love the kingy fishing.
Okay.
There you go. That's good on you.
Good and relaxing, yeah.
And just one final question, Kobe. After yesterday, 4 winners, and I did ask you yesterday how your goals for the rest of the season, but your answer interested me. You just want to keep the momentum going that you've gained from yesterday's 4 winners.
Yeah, that's right. It's always, since I feel like I've made something of myself, I don't want to take any backward steps or be missing out or anything. I just want to be keeping things rolling forward.
4 winners at a Saturday Metropolitan meeting is well and truly got you on the way, Kobe. Congratulations on that yesterday. Well done. It's a culmination of some really good form in the lead up to it too. So we do appreciate you being on this program this morning.
No worries, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kobe.
Kobe Jennings there, impressive young apprentice.
Nice young man, yeah.
Yeah, what, 3 or 4 months before he's all done? Is he a chance in the Premiership? Can he make a belated run?
He's got 13 wins off Rory Hutchings.
Rory
comes out of his time in a couple of weeks. So he might stop.
He will stop.
So, gee, he'd need a few more good days like yesterday, Jim.
Yeah. Well, let's hope he can get him. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's get the callers there. Andy is on the line. G'day, Andy.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Morning, Andy.
Really well. What do you got for us, Andy?
Well, I've got a book with hundreds of quotes. When I was a young fart, I was booked into a suite at the Waldorf, right next to Prince of Wales. I never heard of him, but he was famous. So I knocked on the door and the butler answered and said, "We have not requested room service."
Wow.
One good thing about a bus, if it breaks down, it don't fall 30,000 feet. He had an aversion to flying.
Yeah.
And the final one, Esquire magazine printed a photograph of Sonny Liston as the first black Santa. They had a photo of him with the Santa cap on and all that.
Yeah.
December 1963. And Ali said,
Sonny Liston is the last man on earth that you want to see coming down your chimney on Christmas Eve.
they're beauties, Andy. What about Bruce Springsteen CD for Andy, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely.
Love some of those.
Yeah.
Good on you, Andy. Thanks so much, mate.
Oh, thank you. Have a good morning.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, Andy.
Bruce Springsteen CD coming out to Andy there.
Isn't there a famous Esquire magazine photograph of Muhammad Ali when he's got the arrows and he's depicted as Christ? There's a famous depiction of
yes,
Christ.
That rings a bell.
That was a famous photo on the cover of the magazine too. We'll have a look at that during the course of this news break. It's coming up very shortly too, by the way. People are still sending in their thoughts. This is from Don from Carlton. G'day, guys. Muhammad Ali was so much more than a great boxer and an athlete. Without Ali, I very much doubt that Barack Obama would have had the opportunity to become the US president.
That's food for thought, isn't it?
He certainly chipped away at it, Muhammad Ali, more than most.
Yeah, my favourite Muhammad Ali quote.
Yeah.
I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion.
No doubt he did that. He was revered around the world. 1353-53, the open line number. Coming up next hour, we'll have Michael Friedman, Terry Robinson, Andy Pascalides, the Z&Z quiz. We'll chat to Zorba as well. And Tanya will have all the latest for the scratchings too. Might be significant this morning. 7 o'clock, Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
To coincide with World Environment Day, the Turnbull government is pledging cash to protect species at risk of dying out. Malcolm Turnbull is today set to promise a special $5 million kitty to help community groups protect threatened animals and plants if the coalition wins on July 2. The Prime Minister will join opposition leader Bill Shorten in Melbourne this afternoon at a wreath-laying ceremony to mark the centenary of the Returned Services League. Angry and frustrated volunteer firefighters will gather in Melbourne over concerns the Victorian government has backed a controversial pay deal, handing the United Firefighters Union veto power over their operational and resourcing decisions. The firefighters will gather in the Treasury Gardens today on behalf of 60,000 volunteer firefighters across the state. Fair Work Commissioner Julius Rowe came down on the side of the union in a hearing on Wednesday and issued non-binding findings the CFA says it cannot accept. The family of Perth surfer Ben Gehring, who died after his leg was bitten off by a shark, have visited the beach where he was attacked and paid tribute around a campfire. Despite a team of specialists working around the clock to save Mr. Gehring, his injuries were too great. The 29-year-old died on Friday night in Royal Perth Hospital, where his family, including his pregnant fiancée Jasmine, had been keeping a bedside vigil. His brother Rick says the family is coping as well as they can.
The emotions up and down, but together we're getting by the best that we can and anyone can do.
A man will face court in northern New South Wales after being extradited from Queensland over a robbery in which three men allegedly ransacked a home and threatened the resident. Police say the 28-year-old was arrested in Southport in Queensland on Thursday and extradited on Friday. His is the second arrest in connection with the April 13 incident, which took place in Armidale. Another 28-year-old man was arrested and charged in the hours immediately after the alleged robbery and will appear at Armidale local court on Wednesday. Overseas, more than 70 people have been injured after lightning struck a German music festival, forcing organisers to put it on hold. Reporter Larry Miller has more.
As the skies darkened over Germany's Rock am Ring festival, organisers cleared the stage and told the audience of thousands to find shelter. Moments later, with rain cascading, multiple lightning strikes. People panicked. More than 70 people were hospitalized. At least 8 are in serious condition. With more warnings of bad weather, the festival, headlined by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, was suspended.
And abuse victims have criticized new Vatican procedures on removing bishops who cover up for pedophile priests as adding little to existing laws. The procedures seek to answer demands by survivors of abuse that the Vatican holds bishops accountable for botching abuse cases. But abuse survivors have immediately criticized the new law as essentially window dressing, since there were already ways to investigate and dismiss bishops for wrongdoing. This is AIR News. Australia and Greece overcame difficult playing conditions in Sydney to provide an entertaining game in their first of the two friendly internationals, as AIR Sports' Graeme Davis reports.
Leckie's right foot effort with the last kick of the match gave Australia a 1-0 win in the first of its two friendlies against Greece. Australia was the better team in an entertaining tussle on a difficult pitch, with Milligan coming close with several efforts, while Sainsbury saw his shot hit the base of the post. When Cahill's header from a corner in the 89th minute was disallowed, it looked as though the game would finish goalless until Leckie's late winner. Graham Davis in Sydney for AIR Sports.
Fremantle have notched their first win of the season and jumped off the bottom of the AFL table with a 79-point triumph over Essendon in last night's clash at Domain Stadium. The Dockers ended their 10-match losing streak with a 26-126 to 6-11-47 win, with Bombers midfielder Ryan Crowley tearing his hamstring late in the match. In yesterday's other game, Sydney defeated Gold Coast by 38 points in the wet, while Geelong beat GWS by 10 points. And Melbourne have climbed to the top of the NRL ladder after a 24-6 win over Penrith, with Cooper Cronk key to the victory. The Storm have leapfrogged Cronulla, who play Canterbury tomorrow night at ANZ Stadium. In today's games, the Sydney Roosters host the West Tigers and South Sydney play Gold Coast in Perth. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio gives you the right mix of racing and sport every morning at 10 on Tab Talk. Hear leading experts from all the winter sports, plus the stars, including cricketer Dave Warner.
Like 90,000 people at the MCG walking out Boxing Day Test, but that's like it every game, and that's the thrill about playing in the IPL. You get the opportunity to play against the best and with the best.
Trainers and jockeys are also along for the ride on Tab Talk every morning at 10 on Sky Sports Radio.
Whether you're on the high seas or calling overseas, trying to seize the day while eating chicken Caesar salad or watching Hail Caesar, now is the best time to seize a fantastic deal this end of financial year. At Hyundai's Seize the Deal Sale, you'll find the Accent City Car, voted Australia's best light car, from just $14,990 drive away. Our Seize the Deal Sale won't last, so seize our best prices today, only at your local Hyundai dealer.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, cloudy. It's worse than that. It's awful outside.
Shocking. Here. Strong winds.
Cyclonic.
Too. Yeah.
Very hot. They say very high, near 100% chance of rain. Well, unfortunately, it is absolutely bucketing down outside, and it's becoming less likely this evening, let's hope. But a lot of rain heading Sydney's way today, possibly between 70 and 120 mils, top temperature of 21 degrees. For Sydney, Jim, what about Woollahra and Wollumbeen?
Yeah, I can tell you at Woollahra, guess what? Bit of rain there as well. It's going to be a top of 21 degrees. And for Wollumbeen in the state's southwest.
Hometown?
Yeah. Well, home village.
Home village, yeah.
Showers today and a top temperature
14 degrees. God.
And best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
I've done something new for this fight. I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean I make medicine sick.
More bass than Bootsy Collins.
Too fast! You're too fast!
The king is going home to get his throne.
Yeah, when I get to Africa, we gonna get it on because we don't get alone.
Remembering the life and times of the late, great Muhammad Ali. That was taken from the promotional trailer for When We Were Kings, the famous documentary on the rumble in the jungle. The documentary was famous in itself, and let alone the fight itself. Just incredible. I think it was at 4 o'clock in the morning, local time.
Zaire time.
Yeah, local time.
Go into Primetime America, wasn't it?
Yeah, to coincide with Primetime America. There was a six-week delay. Who picked up an injury during training?
Foreman, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Foreman got off the plane, and he had big Alsatian dogs with him.
That's right.
And as a result of that, the locals, because they associated that with the police officers, the white police officers, so they associated the Alsatians with that. So as a result of that, they swung their support behind Muhammad Ali. Ali Boumaye.
George Foreman suffered depression for 2-3 years after that loss, Jim. And I don't think he was ever quite the same fight. He did regain the world heavyweight title in his 40s, I think, George Foreman, but never quite the same fighter, because up until he fought Ali, he had that aura of invincibility about him. Yeah, he made George Foreman look like men fighting boys. Joe Frazier, sorry, yeah. Men fighting boys once there in a world heavyweight title. Knocked him down 7 times. But Ali just... Talk about a great fighter. He was also a very clever fighter, Jim. He just basically outboxed and outthought George Foreman in Zaire.
What didn't he have? Because he had bravery as well, too, do what he did in Zaire. You know, the rope-a-dope. Mm. After the first round, he realised, and he didn't realise it with Angelo Dundee or the rest of his team, he realised within himself, I can't win in using this current strategy. Yep. I need to find a new strategy. You know what my new strategy is? I'll let him hit himself out on me.
And Angelo Dundee was screaming at Ali to box and defend and get away from him, but Ali, for about 6 rounds, laid on the ropes and just got hammered.
And, of course, he was in many ways a sad figure for boxing as well, too, because of the onset of Parkinson so early in his life. I think he was diagnosed aged 42. He was a sufferer, or diagnosed sufferer, for 32 years.
And there was some suspicion that he may have had the onset of Parkinson's before he had that last fight in 81 against Trevor Burbick, which he lost. But still a compelling figure, and he was amazing to watch, listen to and admire.
The most compelling figure, you could argue, from the world of sport of all time. 1353-53 is the open line number. Big Hour coming up. Michael Friedman, Terry Robinson, Andy Pascalides, ZNZ Quiz, Zorbiter Chat League as well, and then we'll have our scratchings as well. But it was a bit of a breakout day yesterday for Michael Friedman,
It was, in a sense, pretty low-key wintry meeting, as we know, in Sydney. But for Michael Friedman, he said after the race, it felt like a group race win because it was his first starter in Sydney since relocating from Singapore. Henry the Creator got the job done, and Michael's been good enough to join us this morning. Michael, good morning, and, well, congratulations. You couldn't find a better way to start off your Sydney stint as a trainer.
Yeah, morning, Ray. Thank you for that. It was a big thrill. You know, as you say, it was a pretty sort of low-key meeting and very wintry day out there. But, it was a big buzz. I think, you know, when you make the decision to come back from overseas and, probably fair to say come into an extremely competitive environment like Sydney is in the racing scene, and it can be a fairly long sort of drag getting up and going, getting staff organised, and obviously collecting horses. So it was certainly a really nice day yesterday, and I know all my staff got a big buzz out of it too, which was great.
We were speculating earlier, Michael, so we thought we might as well ask you why the change after 8 years, 8 successful years in Singapore. Why now?
I just think I'd been there with my family. I'd been there 8 years. It was very successful, but I've always had in the back of my mind that, my kids, once they started to get to the age that they're at now, which is 14, they're about to turn 15, that we were keen to have them finish their schooling back here in Australia. And, I think it wasn't a decision we took lightly, but it felt like the right decision and the right time. I think we certainly enjoyed our time in Singapore. It was fantastic on a whole lot of levels. But probably by about mid last year, I was starting to, sort of think that it was getting close to being time to come back.
Michael, why Sydney? Because you would have had a lot more contacts, I guess, if I could use that word, from your days in Melbourne. And Sydney's such, as you mentioned yourself, such a competitive training environment now.
Yeah, it is. Ray, there was a few reasons why in the end I settled on Sydney, and again, that wasn't a decision I took lightly either. I certainly gave Melbourne a lot of consideration, but probably first and foremost was the fact that I wanted to continue training under my own name, under my own right, having done it in Singapore for 8 years, and it wouldn't have felt right for me or for my brothers to sort of be in Melbourne in direct competition. So that was certainly a factor. And one of the other factors was just that, I was born in Sydney and haven't lived here for a very long time, but I was keen, having lived away from Melbourne in Singapore for 8 years, I was keen to sort of give somewhere else a go rather than moving back to Melbourne. So, you know, whilst I'm very, very mindful of the fact that it is so competitive here and not an easy market to break into, I just, you know, I thought it was a good challenge and one I was prepared to take up.
Well, how's it going? 3 months in, out at Rose Hill. How many horses you got? Are your expectations of what you thought Sydney racing was going to be like being met?
Yeah, look, I was under no illusions coming back here that it was very competitive. And, you know, in my short stint here so far, that's very much the case. You know, you can take a horse to, as I have done the last few couple of months anyway, you know, to a meeting at the provincials on a Saturday, and you could very easily be running into, you know, horses that go on to be stakes class. I mean, it's that competitive. But so I'm certainly, you know, that's basically lived up to everything I thought it would. But no, look, it's been a good transition. It's taken a little bit of time to get a good crew of staff together. But, you know, the support that I've been given from owners back here has been terrific. Most of the horses I've been given so far are yearlings. So, you know, it's a very much a young stable. I've got about 35 yearlings on the books to sort of start working through coming into the new season. And we've got about sort of 15 or 16 two-year-olds, of which the horse that won yesterday is one of them. So it is a very young stable. But you know, I think for my first year back here and you know, for being back here sort of 4 or 5 months, to get that sort of support's, you know, really encouraging.
Well, Henry the Crave is the best advertisement you can have. Two starts, two wins, Michael. And he's owned by three gentlemen in England. And would they have had the chance to watch the race overnight back in England?
Yeah, I got an email on my way home from the race in the car from one of them saying that they'd been up fairly inebriated running around the backyard of their home, waking up the neighbours at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That was a bit of fun.
Yeah, they were sitting up and watching. And they're getting a huge buzz, as you do when you've got a little horse like that that's doing such a good job.
So what next for Henry the Creator?
Well, he's pulled up great today. He ate up last night. So I'll just have a bit of a think about it. I'll go and look at the program tomorrow and see what's coming up for him. If there wasn't anything really suitable in the next few weeks, I probably wouldn't mind giving him a bit of a freshen up because he's been up since the end of January. But if there was a suitable race in the next few weeks, I'd certainly think about sending him round again because Glenn sort of gave him some, you know, nice words yesterday and felt that he'd probably get further too. So I'd be keen to eventually look at getting him up to 14 and maybe even a mile.
Michael, we've just had an SMS come in from one of the listeners. They're saying their name's Jock. It could be any one of hundreds of people. Bjorn Baker's probably the favourite. But the question is for you, how much credit did Richard take for yesterday's win?
And be careful, Michael. Richard will be listening. Don't worry about that.
He was very humble, Richard, if you can believe that. Richard's been a great source of support for me since I got back here, you know, being, you know, my only brother that lives in the same city. So he's always giving me some words of encouragement and occasionally some advice, which he's done all his life. So. he's been very supportive.
That was a very knowing laugh from you, Michael. So, hey, I tell you one thing you would have noticed, Michael, the tax rate here in Australia compared to Singapore.
Oh, my God.
Nothing's changed there, has it, Michael?
Don't talk about it.
What is it in Singapore? It's about 10%, isn't it?
Mind you, I don't really know what the tax rate's like here because I haven't earned any money.
When you get the check from Racing New South Wales, you'll know.
Yeah.
Be clean off.
No, I think memory, it's about 12 or 13%, something like that.
Yeah, right.
Well, look, Michael, it was a fantastic way to kickstart the Sydney training career, and I'm sure it's going to be hugely successful. We hope to drive you mad on many more Sunday mornings in the months and years to come, but really appreciate you coming on bright and early today.
No, thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Friedman there. A win for Henry the Creator, which is his first Saturday runner. Gets his first Saturday winner, quite obviously, in the first yesterday at Rosehill. Great effort. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with more.
Rugby league. Racing. AFL. International sports. It's all covered every morning at 10 on Tab Talk.
We've got the Cowboys as firm favourites, but it's one of those games where you could probably flick a coin, and if Storm turn up better than the Cowboys, they will walk away with the points.
Buzz Rothfield is on Tab Talk every Friday, giving his views on the NRL. While jockeys and trainers bring you all the inside info every day. Come and be a part of the Tab Talk family every morning at 10. Here on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
We're here at the local pie shop where we're trying to catch Graham. Now, Graham, is this part of your training for the Super Rugby season?
Well, there's nowhere more Australian than this. It's the perfect place to get my game plan right.
Smart man, because Tab is offering $1.95 lines on all Australian derby games in this year's Super Rugby Championship. So, when it's Aussie versus Aussie in the Super Rugby, look no further than Tab.
Well, they smell good.
Three pies, Graham? Really?
I'm in training.
Tab, more than just winning.
T's and C's apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
This comes in via a tweet, if you want to send a tweet to us, at Big Sports WEND. It's from Big Charlie Cavallaro. Is grunting like a wild banshee that has just stepped on a room full of Lego really necessary by Serena Williams? Ridiculous. There you go. That's, and remember, she's lost overnight to Garbine Muguruza in the French Open final. Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and rings. Z&Z were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. See Alan at Z&Z Westfield Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and the St George Junior Referees.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Jimmy, this horse yesterday, King's Officer, I think he's a great example when persistence finally pays off. His seventh start in a Tab Highway. He'd been unlucky in three or four of them leading into yesterday, but, gee, he certainly made a bird of it, winning by four lengths. And Terry Robinson's done a great job with this horse. He's been good enough to join us. Terry, good morning. And, well, he finally broke through, but he did it pretty emphatically yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Yeah, that's a pretty wild morning down here.
Same up here, don't worry. Yeah. It's absolutely terrible. But
and those conditions, Terry, obviously favours King's Officer as well.
Well, I didn't believe it would, to tell you the truth. Okay. He has won in the heavy, but, look, I think I don't think he's quite as comfortable as what he is on top of the ground.
Okay.
And I think it's basically he's a try of a horse, so. It certainly helps, that's for sure.
We had Kobe Jennings on earlier, Terry. I'm not sure if you heard him, but he said that the horse went for that soft patch coming to the turn when all horses basically got off the bit, and he just dug him up a little bit, and he got travelling straight away, and he actually had to wait a little bit before they didn't go. He was going too well.
Yeah, he certainly rounded them up pretty quick yesterday with the winner a long way from home, which was really nice. There was a bit of genuine pace early in the race, which I think helped a bit, and in fact, he probably got in the best part of the track, which did help. And he is going really well this time. And he was extremely unlucky his first run back. He should have nearly won.
And you're obviously sorry, Terry. You're obviously a massive supporter of the Tab Highways that have been going for about 12 months now, and King's Officers run a few times in them. And I guess it's one of those situations where if you've got a horse of some ability, that you do keep trying them out, especially given the fact he has had a bit of bad luck.
Oh, definitely. Jimmy, look, they're great races. And, look, the horse, unfortunately, is drawn up outside 10, about five times. And he's got no option but to go back. I'm sure one day once he gets up to maybe 1,500 or a mile or even further, it draws a marble, he'll race a lot handier. But the fact that they're normally big fields, these highways, and he has gone awkward a couple of times. End up back in the field, and look, a couple of his runs were absolutely super without it much luck. Yeah.
And the good thing, Terry, is he's still eligible for another crack at the Tab Highway in a couple of weeks. I think you got your eyes on another Tab Highway here in town at Rose Hill.
Yeah, we'll be back there next, all going well, Ray, for a Class 3 1500 on Saturday week. Yeah.
Terry, Can you tell us about the time King's officer went for a swim and maybe
he
didn't,
went for his passport
nearly,
in New Zealand.
Nearly didn't come back?
Well, it was a bit, again, a bit hairy, I must say. Look, he worked with a partner out the beach, which we do, you know, they work by themselves and work with a partner, and they'll just pull in up. And he's had a shy, and he's taken off straight into the surf. Now, unfortunately, as he's, like the rider, just about had him under control, but as he's got into a bit deeper water, he's gone into a hole and dislodged the rider. The rider's come off the offside, and the horses end up having a bit of a shy at that. He's got out in the breakers. So he's virtually, we thought he was walking in the breakers at the time. And my rider's, he ended up away from the rider, so... What normally happens when a horse, you know, we have the odd incident where we lose a rider out the beach, but most of the time the horses just come back to their mates.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few other horses on the beach that he just kept waiting in the near the breakers, and he was a little bit deeper. I wasn't sure whether he was walking or actually swimming. So my rider, at the time, he's a really good surfer, so he's ended up stripping off and going in the swim to grab him, so he just about got hold of him and gets pretty close, and the next thing he's taken exit straight out to New Zealand. That's where he's aimed, and at this stage I think, well, geez, what are we going to do now? I had a mate that's got a boat, and by the time I get hold of him and he gets out to where we are getting launches and try and find him, these things are starting to look a bit hairy. We're trying to even think, well, how am I going to explain this to his owners? Like, his horse lost at sea. Blimey, Charlie, we're in trouble. We could be in a lot of trouble. So I was very fortunate at the time that morning. There was these two older surfers that had come out for a surf, and they'd see what was happening. And they went and they rounded him up, but by the time they got to him, you could barely see him. He was that far out.
Yeah, right.
It was unbelievable. So they ended up herding him back in, which was great. Probably in the ball being in the water about 45 minutes to an hour. He came out of the water, and you normally think a horse would be pretty exhausted. They help out other horses, go for a bit of a swim out there, and they get a little bit wobbly at times if they've overexerted themselves. And he just walked normally. You wouldn't think he was quite surprised. I thought he might have ended up with colic and overdoing it, but
yeah,
he's never swum before, and it's unbelievable. He came back, he's very quiet for a week.
Do you ever take him back down to the beach in your area?
Yeah, he goes to the beach all the time, and okay. I thought, well, I hadn't broken him into the water, tennis horse. He's a very nervous horse, not a really good traveller, and we've got to travel further than a truck to swim. So I thought, oh, well, later on, I decided I was going to take him for a swim. He's a good swimmer. He wouldn't have a bar of it. Couldn't get him in.
Yeah, right.
amazing
story.
That
didn't work either.
Next time he goes to the beach, Terry, keep him between the flags. You might have better success going around. Good luck going around too in a couple of weeks' time for another Tab Highway. Congratulations on yesterday, and I really appreciate your time this morning. And stay safe if it's wet and wild down your part of the world today too.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Thanks, Terry.
Terry Robinson there, trainer of King's Officer. Incredible story.
Yeah.
Incredible story. Lost at sea, the horse. And, there'd be some owners who say, well, hang on, there's a different way to lose a racehorse.
What happened to my horse?
yeah, you can have bad luck and then you can get lost at sea. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's get to callers now before we head to a break. Rob is on the line. G'day, Rob.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Can I just ask a racing question and give you a bit of trivia about Muhammad Ali?
Fire away, Rob.
Okay. Ray, I was thinking about back heart in the Stradbroke, because I backed it in the Goodwood after I saw it have a good run behind English there about 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I just wondered, I didn't see the Goodwood run. Does Blackheart Bart, does it get back in its races and
run on, or is it
on pacer?
Tends to get back a bit, but he's got a pat.
I've been watching the last few Stradbrokes, Ray, and it's 1350, and they just seem to really go for it. And I was watching Srikandy win it last year, and I forgot Blackheart Bart was actually in that race, and it ran last year.
Yeah, don't forget.
Put me off it.
Yeah, don't forget. Rob, the Stradbroke last year was run at Doomben. You're back at Eagle Farm next Saturday. Back to 1400. The big track's going to suit him. He's second favourite at the moment at 550 behind Az Cadelia, and that man Darren Weir now trains Blackheart Bart. I reckon he could train me to win a race at the moment, Rob.
Yeah, good point. What do you think about Scadilla in it, race?
Yeah, again, going from Doomben to Eagle Farm. She was good the other day, but she'll be much better suited at Eagle Farm.
Is she in on pace? Is she up front?
No, she gets back as well. So she needs that bigger track, which Jimmy's now sort of understanding what the bigger tracks are all about. She needs that bigger track, and I think they're the two to beat. Counterattack and Malagira and Music Magnate. It's going to be a pretty good Stradbroke. A little horse or a big horse called Take Down will have 50.5. And Glenn Boss to ride next Saturday, Rob, and he'll be up on speed. He might give him something to chase.
Mm. Okay, Take Down, eh? All right, I'll look at that one too, Ray.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just on the league.
Yeah.
I haven't got access to my computer, so I can't just, I'm 95% sure I've always known this, but you might want to double check. But Ali's last fight, he lost to a young Trevor Burbick, who went on to win the heavyweight title.
Correct, yep.
Who then went on to lose his heavyweight title to a 21-year-old Mike Tyson, who was the youngest guy to ever win it.
Yep, I think you're right. He definitely, Ali's last fight was against Trevor Burbick, and he was beaten sadly. Yeah, he was beaten sadly. So
yeah, that's a trivia for you.
No, good one.
Good link into Mike Tyson.
Bob Dylan's CD for Rob.
Absolutely. Stay on the line,
CD
Rob.
CD coming out your way, Rob. Good
we'll
call.
We'll send that out to you. Let's go to another caller. Steve is on the line. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah, good morning, Steve.
Mate, even though I'm a Dragon supporter, I love watching Brett Stewart. But, mate, do you think it's almost the time for the tap on the shoulder? Because he's lost all the injuries he's had. He's lost his pace. And to me, Trbojevic should be fullback.
Trbojevic is such an exciting player.
I think I asked Zorba this earlier in the year. How long does... And this is a really tough decision for Trent Barrett to make because of the popularity of Brett Stewart, rather than based on what he's been doing from a game point of view, Steve. But Tom Trbojevic has got to be fullback in that Manly side.
Where do you play Stewart?
And that's the challenge there, because Brett Stewart's a fullback. Tom Trbojevic, you can play him, or he played centre on Friday night, but you know, I don't see Brett Stewart playing on the wing or playing in the centres. I think he's trying to get a new two-year contract too, Brett Stewart.
Tough.
I don't like his chances. Yeah.
Good call from Steve.
Good on you, Steve. Thank you, mate. Appreciate that. 1353 53, the open line number. We're going to take a break. Coming back, Andy Pascalides is going to tell us all about the Socceroos 1-0 victory.
Rugby league, racing, AFL, international sports. It's all covered every morning at 10 on Tab Talk.
We've got the Cowboys as firm favourites, but it's one of those games where you could probably flick a coin, and if Storm turn up better than the Cowboys, they will walk away with the points.
Buzz Rockfield is on Tab Talk every Friday, giving his views on the NRL, while jockeys and trainers bring you all the inside info every day. Come and be a part of the Tab Talk family every morning at 10. Here on your racing and sports league. Sky Sports Radio.
Whether you're cruising on autopilot up the autobahn, using autocorrect while you're reading the auto cue, signing your autograph beside the automatic teller machine, the best auto is free auto at Hyundai this end of financial year. Get a free auto upgrade with the i30, Australia's best small car, from just $19,990 drive away. Our seize the deal sale won't last, so seize this incredible auto deal today at your local Hyundai dealer.
Gold Edge Syndications are offering shares in a beautifully bred daughter of Nakoni, Asaya Jimmy, who currently has a strike rate of over 50% winners to runners. This filly's dam side is littered with 9 Group 1 winners, and her trainer, Gary Portelli, is aiming her at the early 2-year-old races. He's a great trainer of 2-year-olds, Gary. For just $3,495 for a 5% share and under $250 fixed fee per month, visit goldedge.com.au now. Enjoy the ride with Gold Edge Syndications.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Right now, time to talk football. We do that with Andy Paskalidis. He's good enough to join us on the line after the 1-0 win to the Socceroos over Greece last night in front of just short of 40,000 people.
Pretty good crowd, Jim.
Given the conditions, not a bad crowd. What say you, Andy Paskalidis? Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning. I've got to be honest with you, during the day, when I get the alert that there'll be a pitch inspection, you start to wonder, because you know that that's not a bad runoff at the ANZ whenever it rains. But conditions difficult, obviously, and just under 40,000 there to watch Matthew Lecky score an injury time after Tim Cahill's celebration for mine was one of the highlights of the night, but it wasn't to be. You know what? They are friendlies by name and friendly by nature, but there were some serious challenges in that first half, and some of those boys that Ange Postecoglou had the chance to impress, I don't think disappointed him. When the starting 11 was announced to me, I was in the champions room for the FFA, and I interviewed Ante Milicic, and he read out the team lineup, and I was like, well, okay, this is an offensive looking lineup with even Tim Cahill sitting on the bench and Lecky on the bench. But well done to those players like Deganak at the back and Jason Guerrier. Aaron Moy did start, then he came off, and then we saw some change in the second half. And the experimentation continues, and this is important for Ange and the team.
Bringing up the side. Look, Andy, look, I know given the weather, it would have had an impact on the state of the pitch, but certainly Ange Postecoglou was pretty scathing in his criticism of the pitch last night.
And Ray, you know, as a journo, you're always looking for that banner headline, and these are the headlines that come out of it. And he was pretty disappointed with the state of you know, the game here in this country, not having a designated football stadium, and that's the problem here. You know, you've been certainly spoiled when you think about this time last week, or just, you know, 8 or 9 days ago when we played in England, and you're playing on football pitches in the true sense. We're not going to have that here. There won't be a way where we can have just a football-specific pitch. Even at Wonderland, at Parramatta, you've seen the Eels share in winter, and the Wanderers have it in summertime. So that's as close as you can get to it. But there's also that crossover in the A-League into the NRL as well.
From what I understand, the Parramatta Eels don't train much at Parramatta Stadium anymore, very rarely. And a lot of that has to do with access to the ground around the A-League.
The Wanderers don't train there either. They train out at Blacktown. They've got this facility out there at Blacktown Olympic Park, and that's the perfect model.
I don't reckon there's teams train at Wembley. I look at Parramatta Stadium when you see it, you think, well, it can't get much better than that from a coverage point of view, Andy.
Fantastic stadium. Yeah. Look, I'm spoiled. I'm there all the time. Obviously, we shift across to Spotless now. But it's a tough one for Ange. You know, you look at that pitch, it was so heavy in places, and that's why there was that pitch inspection. You had to make sure that it was right to play, and the rain abated, unlike what it is at the moment.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, can you give us an update on Lucas Neal? He's in a bit of he's got some financial issues, and he faces court in the UK during the week.
And the timing of this is quite interesting for me this morning. Niall Quinn is an ex-Arsenal Man City Sunderland striker. He's behind a group called Catch a Falling Star, which is linked with Sydney-based Crossing the Line. And it's really about athlete welfare once they finish. And he's actually come out publicly today and said players like Lucas Neal need help. You know, look, Lucas has got to go and face a hearing on June the 9th to determine how much he owes his UK creditors. He's been declared bankrupt. And we're talking about one of our iconic players who made millions from the game. It's a tough period, and Lucas has obviously slipped off the radar in recent times. But it's going to be a tough, tough week coming up for one of the greats of our game.
How did he lose his dough? Failed investments?
Failed investment, that's
right.
What I'm hearing.
Right.
Yeah, failed investment. And I don't know, I've always thought if you've got some extra coin, you're best investing it in property, because you can't lose on property.
Property development. We can talk for a long time about that.
If I was Lucas Neal or any other footballer, I'd be looking at the Robbie Fowler model. He started buying property in Manchester and around the UK, and he's got, I think, God, I haven't done a Google check.
500?
Is it that many?
I think it's he owns 500 investment properties in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Robbie Fowler.
There you go.
Mind you, it's Liverpool.
You're right. Chicken chips and some curry sauce. Spent too long over there. You know.
What about those friendlies overnight? Looking at some of the results there, I see Colombia beat the USA. I know that's not the big European ones, but that was a big result. And I think Yamez got injured, didn't he?
Yeah, this is the Copa America. See, we've got some impressive international football coming up. Obviously, this time next week, we're talking Euros. That was the Copa match yesterday, or late yesterday, Colombia beating USA 2-0. Right now, Costa Rica playing Paraguay in the other game from Group A, 28 minutes in, 0-0. And we've got the markets up on this and Euros and other international football. Later on this morning in Group B, Brazil will play Ecuador and Haiti play Peru. But those friendly games that are important for Euros, Germany beat Hungary 2-0. Both those teams are playing. Croatia smashed San Marino 10-0. They're in a tough group. Group D also has the Czech Republic, Turkey and Spain. The Netherlands, who are not going to Euros, they defeated Austria, who are 2-0. Northern Ireland drew against Slovakia 0-0 there in Group C. The Irish and France beat Scotland 3-0. All the goals coming in the first 39 minutes, including a double for the host nation of Euros from Olivier Giroud.
Just Andy Murray, was he playing for Scotland in that game? Because we just say he's the greatest British sports person, so we're just wondering whether he's doubling up for them in the football as well.
Oh, who knows?
No. He's busy tonight at Roland Garros.
Oh, that's right. He's got it. I thought he might have.
I did see actually a name, but just looking at the team sheet, Jay Hayne. Is he familiar?
Is he who?
Jay Hayne. I think Jared Hayne played there as well.
Oh, well, everyone's going to have another dream after the other dream, so you never know. Andy, we've got to fly.
He actually, remember he was on the bench for the Liverpool Legends game early this year. We thought he might have had a run.
There's another dream. There's another dream he can pursue. Good on you, Andy. We've got a fly. I appreciate that. We'll speak next week.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy Pascaletti there, 1353 53, the open line number. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the ZNZ quiz. Call now. Just score update, Raymond.
Is it 12-9?
12-10.
12-10?
Yeah.
Right back in it.
Take the two if you're in front.
Like Carlton surging.
The best builders are master builders, and they get their insurance from the industry experts. MBA Insurance Services. The best builders, suppliers and trade contractors are reliable and honest and protect themselves and their clients with the right insurances. Get genuine expert advice on builder's warranty, contract works and liability, plant, professional indemnity and much more. Yep, all the insurances required to protect you and your client. Call MBA Insurance Services today, 8586 3555.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our U-Butte online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors.
The man is having a huge end of financial year sale this weekend. What man, you may ask, Jimmy?
You're going to tell me, Raymond.
The man from Mazda, of course, Penrith Mazda, has 300 new Mazdas to clear, so they're offering huge savings and factory bonuses. For the best selection and the best price on all Mazdas, come and see the man from Mazda, Penrith Mazda. That's Penrith Mazda's huge end of financial year Day 3 sale this weekend. All stock must clear. See the team at Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith today.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Time now for the ZNZ quiz. Let's get straight into it. Sam is there from Des Moines playing for me. G'day, Sam.
Morning, Jimmy.
All right, away we go, mate. Who do the Roosters play in the NRL today? Is it the Tigers, the Rabbitohs or the Titans?
They're going to get punished by the Tigers today.
I'm nearly going to put that as a wrong answer, Sam, but anyway, we'll let you get away with that.
On you, Sam.
Which of these players had scored the most tries after round 12? Was it Jared Croker, Ben Barber or Curtis Rona?
Jared Croker?
had 7. Benny Barber had 8. Curtis Rona had 7.
Good year, Benny Barber, isn't he?
Yeah, very good. I saw him yesterday at the Barbers.
Oh, okay.
I saw Ben Barber at the Barbers. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I didn't put it together until 20 seconds later. I was walking around and I said, that's Ben Barber at the Barber.
I digress.
Which of these New South Wales players made more tackles in Origin 1? Was it Boyd Cordner, Josh Jackson or Greg Bird?
That is tough. Josh Jackson.
Well done.
That's a good answer. Well done. Stay on the line, Sam. 2 from 3. Over to you, Raymond.
He's a tackling machine, isn't he, Josh Jackson? And I've got Chris on the line. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
Yeah, terrific, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Mate.
Bad news is you need...
Easy one today for me.
Okay, you need 2 to tie. That's the bad news. The good news is if you get 3, you'll win. So here we go.
I'm going for 3.
Okay. Sorry. Chris, question number 1. Who do the Bulldogs play in the NRL on Monday night? Is it the Sharks, the Cowboys or the Knights?
Sharks.
Solid start, Chris.
I've jumped the barriers.
Okay. I like it.
He's pinged out of the gate.
Okay, we need to maintain momentum. Question number 2. Which of these players had the most line breaks after round 12? Was it Michael Morgan, Cameron Munster or Aaron Gray?
Michael Morgan.
Well done, Chris. Yeah, Michael Morgan. Yeah, he had 8 line breaks. Munster 7, Aaron Gray 7.
Here we go.
Here we go, Chris. Question number 3. Which of these Queensland players ran for more metres in Origin 1? Was it Corey Oates, Corey Parker or Josh Papali?
Corey Oates.
Corey Parker. Yeah, Corey Oates went 135 metres. Corey Parker, 149.
Oh, God.
Josh Parley, 111.
All right, you better ask Chris the tiebreaker.
Here we go, Chris. Tiebreaker question. What is the current golf world ranking of American Jim Furyk? The current golf world ranking of American golfer Jim Furyk?
8.
Okay, stay there, Chris.
Now, Sam, back to you, mate. What is the current golf world ranking of American Jim Furyk?
9.
Yeah, too smart.
Clever
Sammy.
Play,
well done,
clever
Sammy.
Play.
Of course, correct answer is 29. Yeah. 29. Good on you. Who's your team? The Tigers?
Yeah, the Mighty Tigers.
Good on you, Sam. Patience, Sam. Well done. Hey, well done, Brooks and Moses, though, re-signing. So that's good news there for the Tigers. Stay on the line, Sam. We will get you out a watch in the colours of black and white. I think there's a bit of orange in there now too, isn't there? So the West Tigers. 1353-53 is the open line number. Time now to speak to Zorba. We've been looking forward to this. And we've been dominated by Muhammad Ali's passing this morning, but obviously the massive story from the world of rugby league is the alleged match fixing. To talk us through his thoughts on it, it's great to get Zorba on. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Pete.
All right. I thought the performance on Friday night, given the fact that they were down 30 points to 6, and I thought we're just going to get blown away with injuries everywhere, the team did well to stay in there. What's the feeling within the club at the moment, given the allegations that surfaced on Thursday?
Well, Trent Barrett asked me to talk to the team before they left for Canberra because the story had only broken that morning.
Mm.
And so I just spoke to them on the bus and said, boys, this is broken. This is how much we know about it. We just want you to play football. We'll handle this side of it. And I think the club has done every effort to do that. Now, it's very difficult to be in a situation where there's no investigation, there's no inquiry, but a continuation of a collection of information. But meanwhile, the players and the club are being slammed and they don't have a chance to do anything about it. We as a club don't have any chance to do anything about it. What we're asking is, where's the evidence of the bets? Where's the proof that rugby league isn't the ham and the sandwich here in an underworld dispute? Innocent lives are being affected and a great football club and its players being seriously defamed. My view is this, is that all my time in rugby league, you may get one player. At a stretch, you may get 2, depending on the circumstances. But never, ever 3, 4, or 5. I don't think that enough people know, A, what they're writing about. I don't think that the journalists, many of them, wet behind the ears, have any idea about how punting takes place. Bets of that magnitude have to be recorded somewhere, Ray. Am I correct?
100%. I was going to ask a really naive question. I think you just touched on it, though, Zorb. How can you fix a rugby league match?
How can you fix
it? It's almost impossible.
Exactly right.
Almost impossible.
I saw Gordon Tallis was quoted today as saying, players knock on.
Yeah.
They throw forward passes. They miss tackles.
It's human. Human nature.
If the game is going to be scrutinised by every mistake, then we won't have a game.
Mm.
My concern is that a great club, as I said, is being seriously defamed. The players are being treated like criminals. And a lot of these players weren't even with the club last year. The players got back from Canberra at 3:30 a.m. yesterday morning.
Mm.
Waiting for them at their Narrabeen headquarters was a photographer wanting to take shots of them arriving back. After having a bus trip to Canberra, being beaten, coming home, getting to their cars, wanting to get home to a warm bed, and that happens. The press conference after the game. Our CEO, Joe Kelly, made the road trip on Friday, especially to be beside his coach and to support the team. He arrived in Canberra, got to the team hotel, and didn't want to talk until that press conference. One journalist is still looking for his first story, tried to take over the press conference by saying, why didn't you talk to me before? Why didn't you answer my questions back at the team hotel? Joe is one of the nicest blokes you'd ever meet. He's too much of a gentleman. I would have said to that reporter from Channel 7, a rookie, Liam Cox, and I'll name him because everybody saw the press conference and everyone can hear the question. Why didn't you talk to me? Joe just said, I want to talk to everybody. I would have said, I don't like you. That's why I'm not talking to you.
Mm.
I can't believe that some of the people writing on the game know absolutely nothing about the game. I'm not referring to Cox there. I'm talking to print journalists. They don't understand what is going on. They think that they're on the edge of a massive story. The police have said it is not an investigation. There's no inquiry, but a collection of information from a phone call, obviously, that they've received. I can't see how we can do anything until we have that evidence. The club stands by the NRL very strongly. Any player found guilty, you can't do a worse thing than fix a game.
Of course. Now, Zorba, can I ask you this?
Yep.
Is it true that Manly officials went to the NRL last year and show because of concerns around some of the persons that players were fraternising with?
100%.
Right.
I was part of that. I went with members of the Penn family to talk to Todd Greenberg. And we just said we're concerned at some of the elements that are around our club that are seemingly welcome to the club by a certain section of our club who are, I might say, no longer with us. And we had a situation where we felt that we should go to the NRL.
Well, what was the concern? If there is a concern, what was the concern about?
The concern was about just the types that were gathering.
So it wasn't anything specifically relating to gambling?
No, absolutely not.
So, does the NRL Integrity Unit have enough resources to properly investigate these sort of matters?
I don't know what their resources are, Ray. It's a bit of a mystery area to officials, and we know it's there. We know certain people involved in it.
Do they understand betting?
I don't know how many of them there are or whether they're... I went to the league years ago about betting and said, you've got to understand it more.
Yep.
If we're going to embrace...
That's the concern,
Zorb. If we're going to embrace sports betting and look where it's at now, then we need to get a task force set up to look at it, because it has the potential to absolutely kill the game. Mm. I also am a very much... I hate to see some of the players that names are being dragged through the mud now, and it's worse than it ever was because of social media. I've laughed with some of those blokes, I've cried with some of them after games. I know what they're like. I knew when Brett Stewart was accused of that sexual charge years ago that he was not guilty, but he got dragged through the courts. That mud has stuck with that young man, and he'll never get over it. But he was found innocent. The case was going to be thrown out very, very quickly by the court, but it had to run its course, and it did. Now, some of these players that have been mentioned, there is no way in the world they would knock you out if you even suggested that they throw a game, such as their will to win. And to get five or six of them is just ridiculous. Mm. I cannot see it going anywhere. I don't know how we can be looking at something like this when a bet of that magnitude has to be registered. You cannot pull $1 million out of the air with a betting agency or a bookmaker if they don't have it on their books. Ray, am I telling the truth there?
Absolutely. So that if there is a punting trail, it should be quite easily identified. And that's went back to my previous point. So does the NRL Integrity Unit have the resources or the knowledge of the betting landscape to know where to go with this?
Zorba, can you put your hand on your heart and say not one player at the Manly club has ever had a bet against his club?
Oh, I can't do that because I don't know.
No.
I don't know what the circumstances are. I mean, I'm still in a state of shock as to where Kieran Foran is in his life at the moment. Mm. I love that boy.
That's his life's
time.
Unraveling.
I didn't know that, you know, I've sat in a tab with him and had a bet, but I didn't know that on racehorses, but I didn't know that, you know, he punted to that extent that has allegedly been said about him. I mean, these guys, a lot of them, $50,000 you would not get them for $50,000, not when they're on contracts of $600,000.
Exactly.
But, you know, there are circumstances in people's lives when they do stupid things. Now, I don't know whether anybody has been put in that position, but I do know, collectively, there's no way in the world you'd get them.
Mm.
No way in the world. So why haven't the police are running this now, why haven't they got people looking at where is the evidence of the bets? Show us the evidence, and we will have the players out of the club fairly quickly if they're found guilty. But they've got to be presumed innocent until they get that opportunity, surely.
Well, they won't be out of the club. They'll be out of the game.
Well, they will be.
And that's come from Todd Greenberg.
And everybody agrees with that. Let's make that clear.
Oh, totally.
We want to, as a club, and I think our chairman, Scott Penn, and our CEO, Joe Kelly, have been absolutely strong on this from day one, as have the board, as has the coach, and as has the team. Show us some evidence and we'll assist you. We will go to any lengths to clear our brand name. Like, we had our logo on the front page of the biggest selling newspaper in Australia on Friday, and it wasn't good.
No, it's terrible. It's been horrible.
We need to let our sponsors, our members, our supporters, our families know that we are okay and that we're not involved in this. But our hands are tied. How long do we have to wait for this to continue going on? I mean, it's just got to the stage now where we just can't sit and wait. We need it accelerated. And we need to know if there's anything we have to do.
From what I understand,
we have not had any contact as of this morning from the New South Wales Police.
From what I understand, the investigation will be run very quickly, which will be good news for everyone concerned, hoping that it is good news. It seems almost strange to say it, Zor, but what's your zapper for today?
Well, I don't feel good saying it.
Yeah.
look, the home teams have won all games so far. And obviously the Broncos, fourth loss in fifth game, in five games, they weren't good against the Warriors. Roosters, I thought, would win today, but without Mitchell Pearce, I think they'll struggle. And without Boyd Cordner, I'm going to go for the Tigers, Rabbitohs and the Sharks.
Tigers, Rabbitohs and Sharks, all at the line?
All at the line.
Okay. Tigers, they are +3.5. The Sharks, the Rabbitohs are -4.5, and the Sharks are -1.5. Good on you, Zorb. Very emotive. We appreciate your time this morning. We'll speak next week.
Okay, mate. Bye.
Thanks,
all. Peter Peters there with all the latest on that. We'll take your thoughts on that, 1353-53. But right now we have to get scratchings around New South Wales for the first time this morning. Good morning, Tanya.
Morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Wellington, the only New South Wales meeting on today. Moomba cancelled yesterday.
Yep.
Was it, Ray? Yeah, yesterday. Postponed yesterday. So just Wellington today in New South Wales. Spoke to Dave Castle not long ago, who's on his way up there. Not a great deal of rain, he said.
Well, heavy eight, they said. The weather is fine.
Track a heavy 8, rail true, and 26 scratching.
He might have had a big night, Dave Carson.
The accuracy
of that report could be in question.
It's a bit blurry as it is.
He'll ring up in a second, say, Jimmy Smith.
Of course he will. Sorry, Ken.
Race 1, take out number 13, News Talk. 13 out of the first, out of the second, number 4, The Frick. 8, I'll Take Money, and 10, Pensita. 4, 8, and 10. Out of race 3, number 1, Mara Creek. 5, Shin Shin. 10, Mistress of Money, 11, Petulance, 12, Spring Shadow, and 13, Figlia Veloci, 1, 5, 10, 11, 12, and 13. To race 4, take out 3, Land Duncan, and 9, Miss Tickles, 3 and 9 from the 4th. Race 5, number 2, Miss Interiors, 3, Dane DeLargo, 8, Surprise Star, 9, Tartufo Doro, and 13, Shades of Pearl, 2, 3, 8, 9, and 13. Out of the 6, number 6, Sword. That's 6 from the 6th. Race 7, take out 6, Missing in Action, 10 Decades, and 13, Courage to Dance, 6, 10, and 13. And race 8, take out 1, Opera Blue, 2, Texan Lad, 3, Cool Ice, 8, Polsky Prince, 9, Hot Pistol, 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, from race 8 at Wellington. I feel like I'm at the Academy Awards there, right? The music's rolling out.
Yeah, winding you up.
That's a hint, 10. A couple of quick tips today. Jimmy, young rider who's riding really well at the moment is Blake McDougall. I think you can get a snare, a double here. Race 3, number 8, I'm Imogen, and race 4, number 2, Beachhead at Wellington.
We'll repeat those later in the program. First, our first event cinema question quiz. What does Kobe Jennings do to relax? What does Kobe Jennings do to relax? You'll have to go back to